And I want you to stand with me as we go to the book of Jeremiah. And this morning we are continuing our sermon series on healing. And already the waters are troubled. Amen. You know, you don't have to wait to a certain part to get something from the Lord. Amen. You can get something anytime. During the offering, you can get something. Amen. You can get something during the preaching. I hope you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning on when you're in the waiting room. Go to the next slide. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. This is a word from the Lord. That was another text I was going to use. But I want us to read it out loud. Sometimes you got to say it out loud. We can think it. We can meditate on it. But everybody together, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith who?"
The Lord.
Amen. Father, today, thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We give you praise for it, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Turn around and tell somebody, "I'm healed in Jesus' name." Next slide. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I think I got it on the next slide. There we go. Praise God. You ever been there? You ever been in that waiting room? You know, that's not just for healing. That could be for anything. You know, in the waiting room. I'm going to tell you, I don't like to be in that waiting room. In fact, my doctor was concerned about my high blood pressure. I told him, "Well, the next time, don't let me sit out there for 2 hours and my blood pressure will be fine." Has anybody ever watched the show The Price is Right? And when they call your name, you know, they run down there. Well, when I sit in the doctor's office after 2.5 hours and they say, "Mr. Nelms," I'm like, yeah. I'm telling you, I don't like a waiting room. But I want you to know this morning that if you're sick and you're in the waiting room, don't you get impatient. God is working. He is up to something. Healing's on the way. We believe in divine healing. And there's a doctor in the house. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And with his stripes, Brother Ray, we were healed. Somebody say, "I were healed." I know I graduated from East Carolina. Say, "I was healed." Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Give him a praise this morning. There's a healer in the house. And I just want to talk to you this morning about two things, really. The fact of sickness, because we're going to attack this thing head on. Amen. We're just going to go head on with this because I know you got 1,000 questions. We're going to talk about the fact of sickness and the faith to receive healing. The fact of sickness and the faith to receive healing. So we can go to the next slide. The fact of sickness. Now, where did sickness come from generally? Point A, generally speaking. Where did sickness come from? Where did it come from? What is the source of all cancer and heart disease and AIDS, you could say, leprosy, whatever the sickness? I want to ask a question. Did it come from God? Did God will that sickness be upon the earth? You see, where did it come from then? If God didn't will it and God didn't make it, where did it come from? Well, let me go back to the Garden of Eden. Sickness came as a byproduct of sin. I want you to understand that, because Adam and Eve were made in perfect human bodies. They were perfect in their bodies. They were human, just like you're human, but absolutely no sickness, no disease, no because God made them. Amen. And the intent was that they would procreate exactly the same as God created. So sickness did not come from God. He did not put it on his creation. You ought to say amen to that.
Amen.
Well, then what happened? Well, we know what happened. Adam and Eve gave Adam the apple, and Adam ate us out of house and home. I don't know that it was an apple, but I will tell you this. When I look at my iPhone and I see that bite out of that apple, I'm reminded that's where it all started. Thank you very much, Steve Jobs. I mean, to remind us of that. But the minute that sin came into the world, that's where everything changed. Sweat and work came. My Lord. After I worked 8.5 hours yesterday, I'm telling you. Suffering in childbirth, ladies, came. God never intended when He designed Eve, when she had her baby, it was to be the most enjoyable, most fun. Oh, this is so wonderful, and there it is. Now, that's foreign to us today, except those of you that used an epidural, and thank God for it. Amen. But let me tell you, pain and childbirth came. Nature changed. When sin came in, nature was changed. We now have storms and the atmosphere, the microsphere, bacteria began to propagate, and everything changed as a byproduct of sin. It's like you open a can of worms when not only did sin come, but sickness came. Sin was the engine, sickness the caboose. But I'm getting on the healing train this morning because the Lord is in this house today to reverse the curse. Somebody say amen this morning. So that's where sickness came from generally. God did not introduce sickness to mankind. Mankind introduced sickness to itself. Amen. There's not only the operation of sickness generally. So we know generally speaking, this is a sick world. But what about sickness specifically? Now I'm getting ready to do a little preaching here in just a minute. So you might want to put on your seatbelt, because I want to talk to you about the three reasons for all sickness. Now, I'm going to get a little more specific. You see, sickness has a specific cause. And I'm just going to give you three specific causes for sickness. So if we go to the next slide, we're looking at individual choices. Uh-huh, I said it. Amen. Y'all got mighty quiet this morning. Diet, exercise, or lack of exercise. In fact, I'm getting under conviction this morning. Somebody said a man's health can be judged by which he takes two at a time of either stairs or pills. Your individual choices can bring on sickness. I said it. God didn't do it. You chose to do it. Oh, what do you mean? It's called habits. Did you know that alcohol is a poison? Did you know the word toxin means poison? And when a person is intoxicated, it means they're full of toxins, full of poisons. Alcohol, and I get so upset, it just bothers me, tears me out of my sanctified frame. I get righteous indignation. I want to flip a table over. Well, Jesus flipped tables over. That's what I'm saying, you know, because I get mad at the devil, amen, not mad at people. But don't come out and tell me it's okay for Christians to drink. It is not okay for Christians to drink because alcohol is a toxin. Why would God bless something that's going to hurt you? Well, He turned the water into wine. Well, I'll tell you what, fill up a glass of water. We'll have Pastor Jerry and the elders to pray. If He turns that glass of water into wine, it'll be all right. Drink all you can. Did you know that, I'm getting in closer now. Did you know that every puff of a cigarette, you are shortening your life by 14 minutes. When you go, you're shortening your life by 14. Now, I'm not telling you this is a sin that will take you to hell. I'm not telling you alcohol or cigarettes will take you to hell. But I am here to tell you that it will certainly open the door to sickness. Go to the next slide. You remember this fella here? You millennials have no idea who that is. You have no idea who the Marlboro Man is on every magazine. In fact, when you went to the doctor, his picture was there. I got to doing some research, and his name was Wayne McLaren. He posed for these pictures on behalf of Marlboro in 1976. But did you know that in July of 1992, He died of, you know how old was? 52 years old. You see, sickness is a result many times of our individual choices. I don't even have time. I'm not going to go into sexual sins. One of the reasons that marriage is blessed and you have one partner, which is your spouse. One of the reasons there's such a blessing on that is because when you go to multiple, you're opening yourself up to disease and sickness. Every time pastor says, every time God says, thou shalt help yourself to happiness. And every time he says, thou shalt not, he's saying, son and daughter, don't hurt yourself. God's got an awesome plan. He knows the human body. He knows what'll make us happy. He is the God of health, wealth, and happiness, and wholeness. I don't care if television evangelists abuse it and live in $15 million houses on old folks' money. That abuse of that does not negate the fact that God is for health and wealth and prosperity. I believe I do a little shout this morning. He's my healer and he's my blesser. I want you to give him a hand of praise this morning that God is good all the time. And while I am preaching on, I got to admit, some of our eating, individual choices. You got high blood pressure, don't eat barbecue every single day and fried chicken. It just doesn't help. Amen. Gluttony is a sin. Amen. And I believe if we take out a lot of sugar and salt and Cracker Barrel biscuits, I'm just so I'm pointing the finger back here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But not only are there individual reasons for sickness, just go to the next slide. There's also circumstantial reasons for sickness. Did you know sometimes sickness comes not because of your choice, but because of the circumstances? You can be at work and somebody's got the cold, and all of a sudden you inhale, you know, some of their coughing or something. You don't mean to do it, but it just gets in the air, and what's on that worker gets upon you. That wasn't your fault. It was just that sickness permeates the air. It's contagious. And what about a person with blood transfusion? That's got AIDS. You know how they got AIDS? They weren't being promiscuous. They had a blood transfusion, and that happens so rare. So I don't want to scare you from getting a blood transfusion. But many times in the early days, they didn't catch it. And circumstance. What about, listen to this. What about you're driving in your car, and all of a sudden somebody plows into you, and your spine gets dislocated. And some people have never been able to go back to work because of circumstances, because of innocence. Things happen. There are individual choices that cause sickness. There are circumstantial reasons that cause sickness. And I'm going to step on into providential reasons that there may be sickness. Let's go to the next slide, because I want you to understand something, that God does not author sickness. Please understand, he does not author sickness, but he obviously does allow sickness, and there is a big difference. Do you say, Pastor Ricky, does God cause a person to be sick? Absolutely not. Sickness is not part of the will of God for your life. If sickness were part of the will of God for your life, then why are we instructed to pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? If sickness was part of the God's will for your life, we ought to pray this, Lord, make me sick. Come on now. Really, think about the it's illogical. God does not will sickness. He does not author sickness. But sometimes he, in his sovereignty, he will allow sickness to come. We don't understand the mysteries and the purpose of that. I do know that John chapter 11, which is not on the overhead, that when Jesus heard that his brother, Martha's brother was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Let me tell you that through sickness and through hospital stays and through the prayers of the church, God and his sovereignty can be glorified, because healing is in the house and healing is coming. Don't lose your faith. Don't let some preacher tell you it's God's will for you to be sick. I'm here to tell you, Pastor Jerry's here to tell you, it's God's will for you to be healed. Yeah. Well, you say, Brother Ricky, why does God allow it? Why don't he just stop it? He allows things to happen. I come up with three reasons why he allows sickness to happen. Perhaps it's for purity reasons. If you go to the next slide, purity reasons. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, listen, sometimes people have gotten sick and God got their attention. And by the way, don't wait. Don't wait till you're in the emergency room and the doctor comes in and says you got 36 hours and say, where's the preacher? Or get the diagnosis and you come to church once every third Easter we see you. But the minute the doctor shakes his head, brother, you're like, can't get to the church fast enough. And by the way, if that's your case, still come. Amen. But don't wait until the sickness comes. Y'all mighty quiet out there this morning, I'm telling you. God allows it. Really, he does. He allows people sometimes to get sick as a wake-up call to let them know we are not here forever. I don't understand why God takes people like April Felton and her daughter and granddaughter. I do not understand why he allowed that. I do know this, that April was very sick many months before she passed away. But I want you to know right now, her and her daughter and granddaughter are in the hills of glory. And one day we are going to meet them. They wouldn't trade what they're going through in glory for this old sick, sin-filled world. Am I preaching to people that know what I'm talking about? God is a God of power and grace, and sickness reminds us, and sudden death reminds us all, hey, let me do what I'm going to do now. Don't let me put things off. What is day? Let us work for the church. While I have strength, I may have an accident and have to be in a wheelchair, and I may not can do things that other. You see, so many times we're healthy, we got a healthy body, and we sleep in, and we don't give attention to the things of God. We don't pray. We go months and days and don't ever read the scriptures and cherish them while we're healthy. Oh, let us do it now while we're healthy, while we're blessed, while we can see. We may be blind one day and can't read the precious word of God. Oh, God, help us to love him in the good times, because I plan to love him in the bad times, because sometimes they come. Amen. The Bible said it was good for me that I had been afflicted. I didn't say, he didn't say God put sickness on a person to do something, but God allowed it, and it turned out to be a good thing. Oh, thank you for that one. Amen, Sister Therese. Psalm 6. And by the way, I'm reading Scripture. I'm reading the Word of God. So this is not my opinion. Psalm 119 says, I know, Lord, that in thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness you have afflicted me, or you have allowed affliction to come. So God allows sickness sometimes for purity, to keep our focus right. Then number two, next slide, he sometimes allows sickness in our life to produce power. Well, look what Paul said. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am, then he is. Did you know that even when we're sick, God can show his power until the healing comes? The story is told of a young boy who discovered a cocoon in a backyard tree. He studied the cocoon carefully, looking for some sign of life. At last, several days later, the boy saw that what he'd been waiting for. Inside the flimsy shell, a newly formed butterfly was struggling to get out. Filled with compassion for the tiny creature, the boy used his pocket knife to enlarge the hole. Exhausted, the butterfly tumbled out, but he lay there. What the boy did not realize was that the struggle to escape was designed to strengthen the butterfly's muscles and prepare it for flight. With an act of compassion, the boy had inadvertently crippled and ultimately doomed the butterfly. It is the test. It is the trials. It is when we stand faithful, when God allows sickness, that is when faith is formed. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Cancer, you're not my Lord. I will not die by cancer, but I will tell you this, it can make me strong because I know God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And somebody say amen this morning. Why else does God allow sickness? Purity, for power, and for productivity. Go to the next slide. Productivity. Let me ask you something. How do we ever know how to help others if we've never been through what others are going through? How can I ever tell you that God is a healer if I hadn't had need of healing in my life? You see, sickness, in a sense, when God allows it, can actually bring great productivity. What do you mean, Pastor? You see, so many times when we are just, I'm not feeling well. You know what we were really saying is that gives me an excuse not to do anything for the Lord. That gives us an excuse to miss a lot of church. And sometimes I honestly understand we cannot be at church every time. We do have physical issues. I understand. But let me tell you, when your body is not feeling well, and you get out of that bed and you put on your clothes and you come to the church and you worship God, I'm telling you, that is some productivity. You're giving the devil a black eye. You're being a witness to others. Because let me just say something to you. Please understand that what sickness you may be going through this morning may not compare with what others have gone through. Sometimes we mistake our sniffles and our headaches and our, and I'm not saying anything against backaches. I'm not saying there's anything against, sprained muscles and things like that. But friend, there are times when we let sickness just stop us. But friend, and there is times when literally you're in the hospital, but you know, my method of being stopped is and not doing for God. When I'm laying in the hospital and I'm hooked up from top to bottom, then we might can excuse you. Can I get a witness out there? But other than that, I know some of you people out here. I pastor some of you people. I know for you to be here this morning, it was a lot of pain. You've got back issues. You've got physical issues. But yet you come to church. And on the flip side, I know some of you are healthy as a horse. And I don't know how many times you've, let me move on. You can't just quit when you get sick. Don't you admire our pastor? I can honestly, amen, praise God. Pastor Jerry, please forgive me, but you know, when your back was hurt and all of a sudden he'd go, oh, and I honestly couldn't tell if he was praising God or if he was in pain. That's an example. Amen. I couldn't tell. I thought when he went, oh, I thought we were about to have church there for a minute. Amen. Because through the pain, he got up here, threw his leg up. You didn't know the pain he was going through. I did, and some others did. But he's setting an example. And he, dear Father, I might be in big trouble after this message. But I'm just, Sister Teresa, help me out. But let me tell you, it's through the pain. We don't just quit. We keep praising God. We keep serving God. Until the healing comes. Let me tell you, some of the most productive things that ever happened have happened when people were sometimes going through sickness. You know, Elijah left this world in a chariot of fire. But his successor, Elisha, died on a sick bed in a hospital of that day. But did you know on his hospital bed, King Jehoram came to him. And on his hospital bed, he was speaking prophetically to the future king. He was telling him to shoot an arrow, strike an arrow. He was getting mad at him for not following God. Listen, and then finally, old Elisha died of the sickness whereof he died. That's King James Version right there. And they put him in a grave. Glory to God. And his flesh began to rot. And his bones were laying there. And one day, some people were coming by the grave. And a man got sick, and they didn't have time to mess with him, so they threw him. They just threw him to the side. And by the way, there are times when people just throw you to the side. There's times when people move on and they forget all you've done. They don't care about you, but God cares about you, because when they threw him to the side, they just happened to throw him on the grave of a man who died of a quote-unquote sickness. And the minute And the minute that man touched the bones of Elisha, he sprung back up, because my God can still work even through sickness, even through pain, even through death itself. We can have church and glorify the Lord. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Praise God. David Ream. Anybody ever heard him? Now, I don't mean to mock him, but this is, some of you have never heard him. He talked like this. He walked kind of like this. But you look at him, he looks fine. He has cerebral palsy. That's what he says. I have cerebral palsy. And he said, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? He's like, I love this. My favorite David Ring slogan. Quit your belly aching. Yeah. My belly aching. The man's in church. He probably doesn't feel good. But he says God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I'm going to be productive. Have you ever thought about this too? That the devil throws things on you when it's time to go to church. The devil attacks our body. I mean, I've seen that. About the time you send a missionary over, they get a bad diagnosis. Because the devil don't want you to serve God. He wants you to... You remember Job? He got full of sickness and his wife said, curse God and die. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to bless God and... Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's keep praying. Let's keep ministering. Let's keep giving. Listen, if your sickness is not accidental, if it's not individual, don't let the devil beat you over the head and tell you that you're not the Christian that you ought to be, that you don't have enough faith just because God has allowed it in your life. You know, there's some people in the hyper faith movement that if you do get sick, they say, and this is terrible, they'll say things like, well, if you were the Christian you were, then you, God must be punishing you. You're not. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's a difference in God allowing the butterfly to get through the cocoon and God punishing us. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, my daddy punished me. He didn't punish my sister, but he punished me. I mean, when I was coming up in the 70s, they still had what was called corporal punishment. For example, in the classroom, my teacher had a paddle on the wall. And she would, at times when you have been given the proper warning, she took you outside, you bent over, whack, 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 whack. I remember I got in a food fight at W.O. Green Middle School. I didn't start it, but I jumped in on it. Throwing food, biscuits. Mr. Perry called me to his office and an assistant principal. He said, you know what this means, don't you? I said, I think so. He put me at a chair. I bent over just like that. Whack, whack. And I'm telling you, they didn't have police officers needed back in those days. And you didn't need a cell phone. Call mommy either. Let me tell, and I don't mean that wrong. But I tell you what, it was discipline. Amen. I feared that paddle, and I didn't want the humiliation of that. I'll never forget one time in my third grade class. I'm digressing, folks. Y'all pray. But my third grade class, a little boy in my class, Miss Andrews' class at Williford Elementary School in Rocky Mountain. And a little boy, his mother was a third grade teacher down the hall. And he had gotten in trouble, and the teacher told his mama. And his mama came to the door and said, get out here. And she grabbed that paddle, and folks, it was terrible. It was terrible. That boy screamed, ah! I mean, it filled the hall. And Miss Andrew said, y'all might want to cover your ears. I don't think Miss Andrew, and it wasn't abuse. It wasn't bruising. It was just simply an administration of discipline. And we never had any more problems with that little boy. The rest of the class didn't need a police officer. Can I get a witness out there today? I forgot what point I was making. It was a good one, though. That was a really good point. Oh, I know, it was my daddy. He did that. He whipped me with the belt. And when my sister got born, she was born in the 80s, and that's when the millennials were born. And I'm telling you, daddy had two, she would wrap him around his finger, and she never got the first whipping in her whole life. And she's like one today, Jennifer. I'd give it to you right after service if you like. But, but I'm just here to tell you, God is a, my daddy, when he administered justice, he loved me. My daddy would give me a spanking and whip me. And then before he went to bed, he'd come in my room and he said, "Son, I love you. And I didn't want you to get hurt." And I'd start bawling and crying. God allows things to forge our character, to show that he loves us. And I'll tell you something else, friend. If earth was all sweetie pie, no problems, we would, in our sinful mind included, we might stray from the Lord, or we might get too comfortable in this world. Folks, please understand, in this world is hospitals, and we need health care, and all of Congress, we still can't figure out health care, and sickness, hospital after hospital. I mean, listen, there's coming a day we're going to glory, and there will be no hospital, will be no cancer wards. I tell you, one of the worst things you can ever see is a baby in the hospital with cancer. You say, "Why does God allow that?" I don't know. I heard a preacher put it like this. He was walking through a flower field, and beautiful blue, purple, gold, red flowers. He said, "I was just walking through the field praying." He said, "I noticed this beautiful flower. And I stopped. It was so pretty." He said, "I picked it up. I was going to give it to my wife." This is Carter Conlon from Times Square Church. He told this story many years ago. And as he began to walk away from that field, he said, "Son, what did you just do?" He said, "I picked a flower for my wife." He said, "What did you do? Which flower did you pick?" He said, "Well, God, I picked the prettiest flower to give to my wife." And I think sometimes God looks down and he just picks some children or picks some good people. They don't deserve it in this world. But I tell you what, God will just pick them up and take them to the next world. And if you've lost a loved one early in life and they knew the Lord, I want you to understand they were a beautiful rose. And now they're going to the place where roses never fade. Can you say amen this morning? So that's the fact of sickness. Let's go ahead to slide 14. Just skip the other one. Slide 13 and just skip the other one. Let me go to the faith to receive healing. I'm coming to a close this morning. I've talked to you about the fact of sickness. Sickness generally, where it comes from generally. Sickness specifically, the three reasons we see sickness. And then I talked to you about the three reasons God allows sickness, purity, power, productivity. And I knew it. I just want to make sure y'all are listening. But the second point is now, what about the healing? What about the healing? How do I get healed? Anybody need a healing this morning? Number one, privately acknowledge the truth. The Bible says in John 8 and 32, "And you shall know the, and the truth shall, it shall make you free." By the way, there's a difference between being set free and made free. Are you with me? You see, privately, you've got to know the truth. Not the truth, but the knowledge of the truth. The truth that God is a healer. And that God does not will sickness upon our life. And that God has a plan. Privately acknowledge the truth. It is the truth that God will heal. Number two, publicly acknowledge the need. One of the worst things you can do is keep sickness to yourself. Now, I'm not saying you got to get on Facebook and give us every detail of every report. And please don't take pictures if you've been cut and bleeding. I don't want to see it on my social media page. But listen, share it with people. Tell Pastor Jerry, tell me, Tell First Lady Teresa. Tell Brother Elam Johnson, who himself has been healed. Amen. If I were you and were sick, I'd run over to Kathy Lewis. I'd say, Sister Kathy, I need your encouragement. I need your prayers because God has just healed her. But the Bible says, is there any sick among you? So that shows you right there in the New Testament, there can be sick among us. Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, that's why at Westmoreland, if you're sick, you can come to the front. You can call for the elders. We can take anointing oil, we can lay hands upon them, and we can pray the prayer of faith, and God might just do it then, but he certainly will do it. Can you say amen this morning? Privately acknowledge the truth, publicly acknowledge the need, and here's what I want you to do in letter C. I want you to persistently, somebody say persistently.
Persistently.
That's where we got to get in this thing. We got to be in it to win it. We got to get in our lawnmower, push lawnmower and say, devil, I'm going to cut this grass today. I don't care what I feel like. Pastor Jerry did that. That's what I'm saying. But I'm going to be at church. I'm persistent. I've got, you know what? Caleb and Joshua, Caleb in the Hebrew means bulldog. You know, Caleb said, give me this mountain. We got to have a bulldog. The healing is mine. It's the children's bread. I believe in divine healing. He died on the cross for my healing. I am persistent. I'll go through what I got to go through, do what I got to do. But every time I know that it's one step closer, if it's not instantaneous, God heals gradually. But I will tell you, he is the healer. And if you're in the waiting room this morning, you be persistent. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep trusting God. Do what you, if you're smoking, quit smoking. If you're drinking, put it down. My goodness. If you're eating barbecue, well, we'll talk about that later. But please understand. Be persistent. Be persistent in your praise. Praise God, he's going to do it. He that began a good work in me will perform it till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. Slide 14, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not what?
All.
Who forgiveth?
All.
And healeth?
All
thy diseases. Go to the next slide. For I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. Acts 10 and 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He healed the man with the withered hand. He healed blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Lazarus has been stinking and been in the grave 4 days. And he healed Lazarus, the Syrophoenician woman, that said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, I've never seen such great faith. Thy daughter is healed. He healed the serpent bitten people of the wilderness. He healed the man's boy who was demon possessed. He healed the man at the gate beautiful. And I'm going to tell you, I believe he's going to be healing some of you this morning. Can you give him a hand of praise here this morning? Amen. Come on, give him a hand of praise. There's a doctor in the house. I know you're in the waiting room. But I'm going to give you two. This is my close. Oh, Brother Clark, do you mind playing for me for the altar? And we're praying for his mother. Amen. Let me cut all this drums and stuff off here. If I was a good piano player as you, brother, I wouldn't need all that. Amen. I'm going to give you two of the greatest healings that I've personally seen in my life. Number one was my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother had a walker. I never saw her without a walker. And I remember one day we were living on Cooper Street, and the phone rang, and Mama told me, I remember you telling me, Mother, Granny's healed. You want to talk to her on the phone? I wasn't but 10 years old. And I got on the phone with Grandma. She said, Son, the Lord's healed me. And I thought, that's good. That's great. Well, when I went to Granny's house next, about 3 or 4 weeks later, she was sitting in her regular chair. I called it the throne. Trust me. She was the queen of the family, I promise you. She was the boss, or whatever you want to say. But she was sitting over on a chair, and I remember sitting there, same as usual. But then she got up, and I'll never forget her getting out of that chair. And I was so used to her grabbing that walker and going clump, clump, clump. You remember Granny in that walker, Mama? Sure you do. And so she got up out of the chair, and she went right across the room, just like I'm doing. Let me tell you, at 10 years of age, I learned something very quick. There must be a God. Hallelujah, somebody. Then my dad was in the hospital in 2000. You just play real soft if you don't mind. And his fever couldn't break. He was really sick. I mean, the fever just wouldn't leave. They admitted him to Nash General. Mama spent the night with him several nights. I said, Mama, I'm going to spend a night with him. Because I had made up my mind that when I stayed in that hospital with him, I was going to pray under my breath. You know, you don't have to be loud and pray every time. Let me tell you, those silent prayers in your spirit can move mountains. Amen. So I prayed for Daddy before he went to sleep. And I got into that chair and I just began to pray, Lord, touch my daddy's, heal his body, break that fear, Lord, just do it. And I dozed off to sleep, and you know, I'd kind of wake up, and and then all of a sudden I'd start praying again, Lord, just heal my daddy, break that fever. And then I'd snooze off, and I'd wake up again, do it all over again. But I really fell asleep, and about 4:30 in the morning I heard these words, Mr. Nams, your fever has broke. And I'm going to tell you right then and there that I saw and felt and with my own eyes that he is a healer. If you're in the hospital, you pray and keep on praying. And probably the greatest miracle of all in my life. And so some of you got yours. And some of you are going to get yours. Did you hear what I said? That was my mother. She had an accident. And I was at Nash General Hospital again. I don't know how God does down at Pitt, but he does good at Nash General. Amen. But Nash General Hospital, he does it at Pitt as well. But they told she had injured her neck. And the nurse came in and told me, my dad was dead at that time. This was many years later, and he had died several years after that first incident. But they said, Mr. Nims, your mother's C4 vertebrae has fractured. We think it's fractured, but the x-ray shows it's fractured. And if it breaks, this is exactly what she told me. C4 means breathe no more. That's exactly what she gave me a little nursing lesson. And I looked at my mother, and I looked at that nurse, and the nurse walked out. And I went over to my mother, and I laid hands on her, and I prayed for her. And folks, please understand, it is not Ricky Nelms. I don't like to even use the word, I did this and I did that. I promise you, it's not I. I promise you, as you would be, I didn't have time to call the superintendent. I didn't have time to call a pastor. By the way, I was a pastor at the time. And I just prayed for my mother as a believer. They said, we got to take her to Pitt Hospital. Well, there it is. There's a miracle at Pitt. So we went to Pitt Hospital. I got there, and I'll never forget, they came out at about 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. They said, Mr. Nelms, we saw the x-ray. I'm about to shout. They saw the x-ray at Nash General. We took one x-ray, and we didn't see any problem. So we took another x-ray. Mr. Nelms, your mother can go home. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah, somebody. My mother sitting up here this morning, I'll tell you right now, God is a healer. Are you in the waiting room? Are you waiting for the healing to come? And maybe you're in the waiting room for a job. Maybe you're in the waiting room for a relationship. But I'm here to tell you, it may seem like it's a long time, but God's up to something. The answer is on the way. I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to come down to the front. I want you to step out of the waiting room, because you're being called right now. Why don't you run like they run on The Price is Right? Come on down this morning. The waiting room is, it's over. The doctor's here. The nurse is saying, come on up. You can see the great physician right now. He's making a house call. Oh, hallelujah. I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. My brother, the waiting is over. I speak healing to your body right now in the name of Jesus. I curse every sickness in the name of Jesus. God loves you, sir. God has a plan for you, sir. I know you may feel unworthy. I know you may feel like you may be messed up, but God says, I love you. I see what you may need. Make your life easy, and I will bring healing to your stealing soul and body. Oh, God, thank you this morning. You're the healer. We might be in the waiting room, but God, because you live, I can face tomorrow. Oh, yes, touch Sister Pat right now. Touch Sister Pat right now. Touch her right now, God. Touch that eye. Touch whatever needs to happen, Lord. Oh, God, touch Sister Donna this morning. Yes, God, she came in limping. But, God, she may leave leaping. But, Lord, we know you heal. And, God, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this young man this morning. Touch this young man this morning. Touch this young man this morning. Hallelujah. Touch Sister Joan. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Glory. I can face tomorrow.
Oh, God, you're the healer. You're the healer. You're the healer, God. You're the mighty God. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Go.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, you've been in the waiting room for a long time, but the great physician said, now is your time. He's calling you forth. He's touching you, body, soul, and spirit. Oh, God, touch my mother.